الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ما أصابكم من مصيبة إلا بإذن الله. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Just a few reminders as usual that today is the day of Jumu'ah, and Allah give us tawfiq to take it as the day of Jumu'ah, though the translation is Friday, but Friday, all these days have got different other connotations. Like Monday is the day they should worship the moon. Sunday was the day they should worship the sun. So all these names have got different. Jumu'ah will make in our mind it's a special day of the week and for special ibadat. As it comes in the Hadith Sharif, that Sayyidul Ayyam Yawmul Jumu'ah, the king of all days is the day of Jumu'ah. In one Hadith Sharif it comes that خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ تَطْلَعُ فِيهِ الشَّمْسِ يَوْمُ الْجُمُعَةِ, the best day in which the sun rises is the day of Jumu'ah. The day of Jumu'ah is referred to in the Hadith as an Eid for a mu'min, more greater than the other two Eids also. So Allah make it that we take it, that this is a great day. We look forward to it. As we prepare, we look forward to the other two Eids. More than that, we should look forward to the day of Jumu'ah. According to some ulama, the night of Jumu'ah, which was last night, is a night more greater than Laylatul Qadr also. So how much did we try and increase our ibadat for last night? That is such a great night, better than 1,000 months, better than 30,000 nights, that one night. How much did we do? Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. And the day of Jumu'ah, it comes in the Hadith that if a person does 6 simple amals, then he gets, for every step he takes towards Jumu'ah namaz, he gets the sawab of 1 whole year's ibadat. And in there it's included, but separately it is referred to, and also 1 whole year's roza sawab for every step he takes to come for Jumu'ah namaz. Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali, great Imam, he says that in no other hadith has so much reward, fadilat been mentioned as in this hadith. And then it is an absolute, sahih, correct hadith also. What are those 5 things that we have to do? Take a bath and wear clean clothes. Inshallah, every Muslim does that. Secondly, come walking for Jumu'ah. As far as possible, wherever we are, we should try and come walking. Thirdly, come early for Jumu'ah. And by early is meant before the Imam starts with the khutbah, gets up to go for the khutbah, by then we should be in the masjid properly. And fourthly, to sit as close as possible to the Imam. We shouldn't be sitting at the back, on the sides, etc. We should come and sit as close as possible. Fifthly, to listen attentively. We shouldn't be thinking about other things, not taking our 40 winks, fall asleep, etc. We should listen attentively. And sixthly, not do anything useless, like playing with our watch or with our glasses, putting our topi straight every now and then, nothing like that. How in namaz we are motionless, like that we should be motionless. A person who does that simple 6 amal, for every step he takes to go for Jumu'ah, 1 whole year's ibadat is written down. And that also according to our ibadat. A person who does little ibadat, 1 whole year's of little ibadat. And a person who normally does a lot of ibadat, 1 whole year's of lot of ibadat will be written. So how much we are going to do normally, Jumu'ah we can get according to that. So it is up to us. It's not a matter of saying that nafal namaz, if you read it you get sawab, if you don't read it you don't get guna. How much more we will do, so much, and we just observe the 6 amals, easy amals of Jumu'ah, so much we will get reward. Plus 1 whole year's roza sawab. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. The day of Jumu'ah is a special day, and a special ibadat of the day of Jumu'ah which is also a special ibadat of Madinatul Munawwara, is Salawat ala Nabi, Durood Sharif on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one hadith it comes, a person who reads 100 times a day Durood Sharif, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala himself writes on the forehead of that person, Bara'atu minan nifaq, Bara'atu minan nar. And Jummah we should increase our Durood Sharif, at least to 300, 500, 1000, whatever we can, we should try and increase it. But to be free by the barakat of this Durood Sharif, Allah will save us from nifaq, hypocrisy. The sin, the punishment for the sin is so grave that Allah Ta'ala says that إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. The munafiqs will be right in the lowest parts of Jahannam. And that is explained that punishment will be that they will be in iron coffins that have burned red hot, and forever and ever they will be in there. In the definition, the hadith gives of a munafiq, a two-faced person. When he meets with this group of people, he talks like them, he goes with the flow. With the opposition he meets with them, then he talks like them, he's like them. So that, and many, many of us are guilty of this. And the punishment of it is extremely severe. So a person must be one-sided, not to be, we want to keep the peace. A person wants to keep the peace, is he really a munafiq? He wants to keep those people happy also, and those people happy also. And nobody knows where he stands. Is he with this group of people, or is he with that group of people? So, this is terrible sin, and we must make clear where we stand. And also, by reading 100 times Durood, Allah Ta'ala will save us from the fire of Jahannam. We cannot imagine, envisage, think of how severe and terrible the fire of Jahannam will be. Just by 100 times Durood, and to read the Durood, which is the shortest Durood, which the Sahaba, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, used to read commonly, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can read it in 2 minutes comfortably, without rushing, easily in 2 minutes we can read it. And one day has got 1,440 minutes. So out of 1,440 minutes, just 2 minutes for Durood Sharif. Who can say that I haven't got that time? And we should think that at this juncture, that today did I read my Durood? That every day do I read my 100 Durood? Just 2 minutes, and the rewards are so great. Why am I losing out continuously by not reading Durood Sharif? A person who reads 100 times Durood, Allah Ta'ala will fulfill 100 needs of his, 70 of the Akhirat. And they are mentioned first because the Akhirat's needs are much more important, greater. And also 70 of the Akhirat and 30 of this dunya, which shows our dunya's needs are small. Though today we have made the dunya, the be-all, that everything is just for dunya. We are worried of dunya, our houses, our cars, our dressing, our holidays, our sports. We have made dunya the object. Whereas dunya is not at all the object. It is just the means, and the means to acquire akhirat. So, 100, Allah Ta'ala will fulfill all our needs. A person who reads 100 times a day Durood Sharif, Allah will give him the mort of a martyr, a shaheed. And what a great honor it is to be as a shaheed. And sitting comfortably, like now, we're not feeling hot, we're not feeling cold, we are not rushing, just to read 100 times Durood, and you get the mort of a shaheed. So easy it is. And when a person reads Durood Sharif, it is presented to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with our name and our father's name. Imagine that every time we read Durood, our name is taken by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam taught us that we should give gifts to one another, tahaddu, tahabbu. By giving gifts, muhabbat increases. And then the gift should be another gift, a better gift should be given in return. And if we don't have anything, at least to say Jazakumullah khaira. So when we were sent Durood Sharif to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is a gift. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam will send a gift to us, a more better gift. will become more stronger in our deen. We are able to give up gunas, our concentration in namaz, all our deeni things. We will get gifts from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on the day of Qiyamah, when Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam will be giving Jam-e Kawthar, from the fountain of Kawthar, he'll giving people water, and for some people he will take their name and give them. They will be surprised that how does my Nabi know my name? I was born 1,000 years, 1,500 years after Nabi. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, used to send so much in abundance durood, every time your name was taken, I came to know you, who you are. So Allah give us the tawfiq for that, inshallah. The ayat that I recited, in one ayat Allah tabaraka ta'ala says, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَاهَا. That whatever musibat, taklif comes to people, all people, it was written by Allah Ta'ala long ago. According to the hadith, 50,000 years before Allah created the earth, Allah wrote taqadir, the taqdeer of everything. So it was written. What is going to happen? 100%. According to that, it is going to happen. So before it happened, Allah has written it down already. In the other ayat, Allah Ta'ala says, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Whatever musibat, taklif, hardship, difficulties come to people, it is sanctioned by Allah. It is by the authority and the permission of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. Both these ayat refer to taqdeer. That is, this has been written down. And what Allah has written is what Allah knew is going to happen. So Allah wrote it down. It is like a father sends his son and tells him to go to a certain place. And in the meantime, he tells his mother, 100% I guarantee you, he'll go to the opposite place. I know him so well, where he is going. So because of the father saying to the mother that he's going to the other place, that he is not responsible for the son doing the wrong thing. The son of his own choice is going to the wrong place. So like that, Allah gave us all the commands what we have to do. But Allah has got full knowledge of what we are going to do. So Allah recorded all that which is in the full knowledge of Allah Ta'ala. So taqdeer doesn't mean we are forced to do what is written for us. Allah knows what we are going to do and He wrote it down. So Allah, it is fully in the control of Allah. On that, another question comes up. When Allah knew we are going to do wrong, then why didn't Allah stop us? So that is, Allah has made this world a test for us. Hey, Allah has given us all the opportunities. وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Whoso wishes now will bring iman and do righteous deeds. And whoso wishes will make kufr and do all the wrong. So if Allah forced us that we don't do the wrong, then there was no test. Allah has made this world a world of test. Allah has done everything and given us the opportunities of doing all the right. Everyone has the opportunity to do right. And the doors of evil are also open. It is up to a person what he wants to do now. So if there was no choice, then there was no imtihan, no test. And then Jannat and Jahannam would be also meaningless. Jannat a person will get when he passes the test. And Jahannam a person will get when he fails the test. So that the test has to be there. Then in two other ayat, Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala explains, and Allah Ta'ala says that, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. That facade, problems, hardships, tornadoes, droughts, riots, wars, murders, killing have become apparent in the earth. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر. On land also and sea also. And all this, bima kasabat aydin nas, what man has done. So that is our own earning. What we have done. And it has come. وَيَعْفُو عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. And what Allah punishes us, the problems that come are very little. Actually, Allah has forgiven a great amount. If Allah had to take us to task for all our wrong, there wouldn't be a blade of grass that would grow in this world. There wouldn't be a drop of rain water that would fall. Allah forgives the vast majority. And that little also Allah gives is لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, so that they could change, they could take a lesson and they could change their lives. In another ayat, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. When Allah sends His punishment, it's a small punishment. It's not the big punishment. And that small also is a reminder that you can, that you should return and correct your life. Like a person, a child, does something wrong. The mother, the father gives it one slap. That one slap, the mother, father could give much more, a severe punishment. But this was just to make the child to come right. That a small punishment is given so that you come right. So what Allah gives us, all this what is happening in the world, is a small punishment, and that is for us to take a lesson and that we come right. Then the whole crux of it, Allah Ta'ala has given in the other ayat, that Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala says that وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ, that whatever difficulty comes to you is what you yourself has earned with your own hand. So every individual is responsible. Then it becomes a community thing, it becomes a nation thing, it becomes a world thing. And all this Allah knew and wrote it down from before. So the thing is that every individual, if we realize I'm responsible for my actions and I must come right. As ulama have written, that the example of our human body, about 1.5 meter more or less, a person is. This is the example of one whole country. And like in every country, there are many provinces, many states. So in this body of ours, this country, there are also many provinces. The province of the eyes, the province of the tongue, the province of the ears, hands, legs, these are all the different provinces. And then the head of the body, the head of the country is the heart. How the heart will dictate, a person will do like that. The brain is the chief advisor. And it will give advice to the heart what should be done, what should not be done. A person wants to commit a guna. The brain will advise, don't make the guna. It's going to bring destruction to you. You will be disgraced. You will lose out in every way. But the final decision is with the heart. If the heart wants to do it, it's going to do it. And if the heart accepts the advice and decides not to do it, but the heart is the final. So you are the king. And the heart is not referred to as the physical heart here, but the ruh which Allah has sent. The ruh is the whole, the mechanism, the whole motivating, the whole moving force in the body is the ruh. Once the ruh goes out of the body, then this body stays lifeless. It can't do anything. But all its desires, this body has been made of sand and water or from this dunya. So it goes towards lowly things, towards things of dunya. And it enjoys in things of dunya. The ruh has come from Allah Ta'ala. And it goes towards lofty things, towards high things of Jannat, of the things that please Allah Ta'ala. But if effort is not made on the ruh, which is attached with the heart very closely, then the heart and the nafs controls the ruh, then a person will always do the wrong things. He will give in to his desires. He will, whatever, just for dunya's sake, just for name and fame, just to make money, just for woman's sake, he'll do all the things of dunya. And if the ruh is made effort on the ruh, and the ruh, it will see the commands of Allah. It won't break the laws of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. So every person has this opportunity that he is the king of the body and he will give the instructions. And if he will bring his eyes under control, and he brings his tongue under control, all the parts of the body, then in fact, ulama have written, of the seven people that will enjoy the shade of the throne of Allah on the day of Qiyamah, one of them is Al-Imamul Adil, that leader who was very fair and just, and you will qualify, because you are also the imam of all the parts of your body. And if you control them and make them do the right things, you will be counted as Imam-e-Adil. And if you allow the eyes to do the wrong, and the tongue to speak wrong, then you'll be Imam-u-Zalim. They will be doing zulam, and you are the one who have authorized it. The eyes will see wrong, but it is authorized by the heart, when the heart is not in the right direction. So therefore, if we have to make effort, that the heart comes right. And that is the major effort, which we don't pay attention to. Our physical heart, we all are very worried about. Just a little, nothing happens also. A person turns 40, he says, I should go for a checkup. Just for this, for safety's sake. That is there. And now he brings problems in his life. Now they pick up, there's a murmur in the heart. There is this not wrong. And now he's in a whole line, in a queue of things. Now this test, that test, this doctor, this hospital, all he brought it upon himself. But for the real heart, that is the ruh, the soul, we don't worry at all. Even we reach 70 and 80, but we still don't worry about the ruh. And that is what is keeping us alive. It is not the physical heart that is keeping us alive, the ruh. Many people have many heart attacks, but they don't die. But one mort attack, that is the ruh is taken out, and the person is dead. Whether it was a mild heart attack or a major heart attack. Or it appears nothing was wrong. Just natural causes, he passed, he died. That is when the ruh is taken out. That is the and the ruh then carries on its journey. The body will be buried here in the ground, but the ruh carries on with its journey. So we have, and so if we will correct the heart, our journey forever will be a pleasant one, and we'll have the great enjoyments everywhere. In this world also, peace and serenity, not only we, whoever will make effort on his heart, on his ruh, he will find happiness in this world also. Which the Quran Sharif says, Man amila salihan min zakarin aw untha wa huwa mu'min. Whoever does this good deed and his iman is correct, he has fixed his heart up, his beliefs are correct, and his amal are correct, فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاتًا طَيِّبًا. We will give that person حَيَاتًا طَيِّبًا, which Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi makes the tafsir مَزِدَار زِندَگِ, an enjoyable life we promise to that person. And the akhirat, وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Whatever amal they were doing, and insan is weak, وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. No matter how much amal we do, our amal are weak. In quantity they are weak, in quality they are absolutely weak. But Allah has promised that I will give you much better. And this is explained in the ayat of the Quran, which our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali explained, that إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah has bought over from the believers their life, their nafs also, and their wealth also. Nafs is nafs-e-ammara, nafs-e-lawwama. Nafs is a dirty thing, a useless thing. And our wealth also is contaminated, especially nowadays. Who is that does any transaction without the bank? And all banks, their basis is interest. Whether we don't take the interest, whether we give it away, but there is contamination at any cost. So Allah bought the dirtiest, the filthiest things, and He gave us in return Jannat la aiba fiha, in which there is no fault. There is no mucus coming from the nose in Jannat. There is nothing which you take out from your throat, phlegm, etc. No acid comes out. No toilets in Jannat. no need of no perspiration in Jannah. It's only no accidents, no illness, no cough, no sneeze. It's only enjoyment in Jannah all the time. So Allah bought the worst things from us and He gave us the best in return. Like that our amal, they will be also, our amal, what are our amal? Nothing that we can, and unfortunately how many of us, we boast about our, there is nothing to boast about. Even the person who makes ibadat like great, great people, continuously day and night ibadat, what is our ibadat? What's the quantity? What's the quality? Nothing whatsoever. So there's nothing to sing about and boast about. But Allah Ta'ala, our weak amal, Allah will give us the best in return. So Allah make us understand that what we, every individual, normally we are worried about the fitnas. So what is outside us, the outside fitnas, what the Jews are doing with the Palestinians, what is happening to the Muslims in Turkey, in Syria, in the government of Syria, how they are treating the Sunnis. This is all undercover. What is being exposed is what is happening in Palestine. But worse than that is happening in Syria under this Assad's government. And what is happening in Turkey, the poor Syrians that have gone as refugees to Syria, to Turkey, in Afghanistan, in Sudan, in Somalia, wars which are engineered by the enemies to sell their arms, etc., and just make people fight among themselves, kill one another. So all this year, we are worried about that, which we must, and ask ourselves, how many of us are making dua? Seriously dua, and that serious dua is the individual dua, not a collective dua. What on your own you are making, in the 24 hours since yesterday Zohar till now Jummah, how much dua did I make for Palestine? How much dua did I make for the Muslims in the world? And more worse than that is the destruction of Islam, which is taking place in the birthplace of Islam. Right in Saudi Arabia, what and what hasn't the government introduced in Makkah Sharif, in Medina Sharif, in the Holy Lands, Hijaz-e-Muqaddas? Islam is under attack. And worse than that, Islam and Muslims are not under attack by non-Muslims only, but by Muslims also. The poor Palestinians, their neighbors are all Arabs. Even if Islam wasn't a common factor, just that they were all Arabs, but they have forsaken them. In fact, they are aiding the Jews to kill the Palestinians. And then we are Muslims, which is a much more stronger bond also. But in spite of that, we can blame the Arabs, but what have we done? And dua is much more powerful than money that we can send. Dua is much more powerful than we can go there and fight on the battlefield. But what dua? And dua is free. Dua is in essence effortless, but we don't make dua. It shows we haven't got, we just want to blame other people for problems so that we can get absolved. That until and unless we don't realize I am the problem, nothing will come right in this world. Whether it is in my life, in my home, in my community, or in the whole world, until I don't realize, admit, and start doing something. Not just saying I'm a problem and I do nothing about it. We turn towards Allah in sincerity, earnestness. One person's du'as, Allah will change the condition. But we don't make du'as, we don't turn to Allah. Allah give us tawfiq to turn to Him and realize that all these conditions which are here, they are our doing, and the correction is also in our hands. And the solution is not outside us, it's not in other people. The solution is in our, we are the cause of it, and the solution is with us. If we correct ourselves, inshallah, Allah will bring good conditions. May Allah give us tawfiq.